say we're going to hold our place in Acts 24, and then we're going to also be in 1 Timothy chapter 4, because we're going to need that chapter. And I'm going to read a few verses out of Acts 24, and then we're going to pray. In Acts chapter 24, verse number 5, this man, Ananias, is speaking of the Apostle Paul, and he says, "For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him." Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to tell you we love you. We need you. Lord, I thank you for all the praises that we've heard. Lord, also please be with all these requests made mention here. And I pray that you would bless this time together. Pray you'd help the hearts here. Lord, I pray that you would be magnified. Lord, your word, dear Lord, be magnified as well. Lord, I pray you'd be high and lifted up. I pray, dear Lord, you'd help somebody today and help us grow closer to you. And I pray lost souls would come to be saved as a result. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to talk to you a little while this morning on the subject of the world's view versus the Christian. And what you have is in this text in Acts chapter 24, I'm going to go over a few things in this chapter, and they're accusing Paul. Now, Paul is a Christian. And what you're going to see is, you're going to see a world's view, and people who are against Paul, their view concerning what a really Christian really is, or a real Christian really is. And we need to know that because the world is against the Christian. The world is against the Christian thought. And you got to understand how to think in a world that is against you. We're constantly having to get God's thoughts and not our thoughts. And so I want you to know one man, John Wesley, an old preacher from years ago, said, "Anything that cools my love for Jesus Christ is the world." It's the world. Now, the world has a mentality, and the most worldly, devilish mentality, satanic mentality that's going on in our country today is a communistic thought. And I believe we ought to be educated on that, because you say, "What's going on? What's all this stuff about?" Well, it's nothing new to the Lord. It's nothing new concerning the Bible. It's just a selfish way of thinking. And so I want to read to you something quickly about communism. It's in the Marxist Lenin textbook. It was prepared by the Soviet scholars in Moscow and being used by the members of the Communist Party in the USA. Now, this is what they say. Materialists, that's the worldly view, do not expect aid from supernatural forces. That's the world's view. They don't expect any supernatural aid. They don't think they need God for anything. It goes on to say that their faith is in man, in his ability to transform the world by his own efforts and make it worthy of himself. That's the world's view. The world thinks that they can pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, as the old saying is. The world thinks that they can fix things up without the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. Without King Jesus, there is no peace.
Amen.
Without the Lord Jesus Christ ruling in a life, there is no peace in that life. It's turmoil. That's a worldly view. And if you want to judge something and say, "Okay, I can't find a verse on it. What do I need to think of this?" If it cools your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's of the world. The world will cool your view toward the Lord Jesus Christ. The world tries to get you to a place to where you're not as close to the Lord as you used to be.
Amen.
And what happens is, it's just a slow fade. You slowly, like the old frog syndrome, and when the frog gets in the boiling pot, If it's not hot automatically and you slowly heat that thing up, that frog would literally boil to death. Why? Because it slowly gets used to it. You know what the world wants to get you to do? The world wants to get you to where you have no shock value at all. The world wants to get you to where you see it, you see it, you see it, you see this thing, you see that thing, and you have no shock value at all what goes on. And that's what the world wants you to do. And so the Bible has to come in and transform your mind by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God and preaching and fellowship and praying. And that keeps you to where you're still sensitive to sin. Yeah. Otherwise, you get to a place where it won't bother you. So in 1 Timothy 4, I'm going to jump over here just a minute. And I want you to see the context of 1 Timothy 4. Chapter 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times..." Now this has to do with the end. Right? He said, okay, if you want to know what's going to happen before the rapture of the church, before the end of the church age, to usher in the next dispensation, he says, "Some shall depart from the faith." How? "Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So what do? In verse number 1, they want to confuse you. The world tries to confuse you to where you can't know what goes on. Now, if you're starting to be confused, you know, the Bible said God's not the author of confusion. Anytime I get confused, I know I need to be seeking God in prayer, because God, His answer is yea and amen, and He'll give you a solid answer on something. The devil don't give you a solid answer. He wants to confuse you. So then guess what happens? He's lining it out on what happens. Then guess what happens? Then they sear your conscience. The seducing spirits, they confuse you. Then they sear your conscience. Verse number 2, "Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." So they confuse you, they sear your conscience. Then guess what they do? "Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." Okay, so they confuse you, then they sear your conscience, and then they give you false commandments. They say, "Well, don't marry." You know what that is? That's teaching men and women not to commit to each other. You know, the best thing you can do as a man is commit to that woman, commit yourself to her, and the best thing she can do is commit herself to that man. Why? You love each other. Okay, so you know what you're finding out? If you don't heed to the Lord, you get confused, you get your conscience seared, and then before long you're doing things completely contrary to the Bible. They say, "Well, you can't eat this and you can't eat that," when the Bible said, hey, if God has got to a place here where He said, if you just ask God to bless it, it's blessed. If I want to eat possum, as nasty as I would think a possum sandwich would be, if I ask God to bless it, He would bless it.
Amen.
Now what? That's the world trying to confuse you so you'll become like the world. The devil doesn't mind you coming to church. I've told y'all that. The devil doesn't mind you reading the Bible. The devil doesn't mind you praying, as long as you don't apply the principles to your life. I love this meeting. I love seeing y'all out here like this. And man, how beautiful it is. And the sun kind of coming through here and seeing these shadows cast from these trees and just seeing the smiles on your faces, those Bibles open and people loving the Lord and caring about it. That's wonderful. But man, if you don't apply it to your life, it's no good.
Amen.
It's hypocrisy. See, he's saying, hey, if I can make them a bunch of hypocrites, y'all know some of the meanest people I've met. I met one yesterday. I ain't going to tell you the story. This lady was just as mean as hell itself. Just belching out of her. And what is it? She had a big old pillow before she come out here and gave me a piece of her mind. She had a pillow that had "bless the Lord, bless His name," and all this stuff out here. She comes out here and just tears into me, man. I'm thinking, man, ain't that something? Now, yes, she might be saved, understand that. But if the devil can get you acting like the world and behaving like the world and upset over worldly things, he knows he can get your testimony, and he knows before long nobody will listen to you. That's what we want to stay away from. Paul is being a Christian in our text. In Acts 24, and the world's against him. So guess what we got to do? We got to learn from his example on how to go against the worldly current. Paul always had a battle. Now in 1 Timothy 4, before we go back to Acts 24, after he says all these things, the Apostle Paul, at the bottom of that chapter, verse 16, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself. That your testimony, he's already saved, they're already saved, and them that hear thee. He's saying, be careful, because you can save your testimony. Save thyself. I can't save myself from hell. I can save myself from having a bad testimony if I'll heed to it. You know what we got to do? Don't let all this stuff bother you and these folks. Well, the end of the world's coming in. First it was July this year. And then it's supposed to be September. And then December. Well, none of them know a hill of beans. I mean, they don't know. There's no way the end of the world can come then anyway. Why? Because the rapture's got to happen. Then they got to have at least a tribulation period after that. It's going to be a long... This world's still going to be here for a while. They don't know what they're talking about. Keep on making plans to continue. He said, continue in the doctrine. What? What do you do? Just continue. I'm just going to get up in the morning and serve God the best I can tomorrow. They say, well, what if all this stuff falls apart? Let it fall apart and I'll serve God on the pieces.
Amen.
Man, I tell you something. That why? Our job is just continue, continue, continue. Now, I know I probably sound like a broken record, but you know what people need to hear? They need to keep making plans. Keep serving God. Keep being the best you can be for the Lord. Amen. Why? It'll give you joy.
Yes.
It'll give you joy. Nothing like the joy of the Lord. If Paul can have joy in a prison, what we think wasting away in a prison, don't you know it, us as a Christian, we can have joy serving God? You know what, I can tell you this right here. It's happened to me and it'll happen to you. If you're saved and you stop serving God, you know what the first thing to go? Your joy. You'll lose your joy. It does something to the face. Why? Because what's on your heart, you wear on your face.
Amen.
That's just how it is. Now, you can fake it for a little while, but not for long. All right, so you get over here, and I want you to see their view of a Christian. Too long on that introduction, I believe. But anyway, in Acts chapter 24, verse number 5, you're going to see, first off, their view is that Christians are pestilent. They said, this guy is a pestilent fellow. He's like a pest. He's like a pestilence. They compared him to a plague needing to be rooted out. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to run this communist thing in the ground because they hate us. And I don't like the fact that they hate us. So, there's an idiot named Gus Hall. Gus Hall, he was the leader of the... he was the chief of the United States Communist Party. He died in the year 2000. And this is what he said. Now I want you to see how serious they're. You think the world don't hate you. Sometimes you just have to be shocked and realize how much they hate you. Because I hate reading this stuff, but I want you to know that the world is against the Christian. You think all this stuff is just... Look, the devil hates Christians. Now that's why I want to preach harder. I want to serve better. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better pastor. We ought to want to be better for our spouses. We ought to want to be a better friend. Why? Because you've got a world that's against you. That's what this guy says. I dream of the hour when the last congressman is strangled to death on the guts of the last preacher. And since the Christians seem to love to sing about the blood, why not give them a little of it? Slit the throats of their children and drag them over the mourner's bench in the pulpit and allow them to drown in their own blood, and then see whether they still sing those songs. This same man also said that the communist goal for America were almost identical with the goals of the liberal church. Now, you know what that man just told you, what was inside his heart. You think that guy right there don't hate Christians? You see that the battle is a real battle. This thing is real. And you have a real threat against what? They don't want you getting close to the Lord. If they can scare you, that's why the Bible teaches you not to have fear. Why? Because there are actually things out there that kind of tempt you to fear them. But y'all, we don't have to fear a thing. That's why the Lord tells you, have my fear, not the fear of the world. Look, the Christian, if you're saved, you don't have one thing to be afraid of. Why? My soul is saved. There's nothing like knowing that. There's nothing like knowing if you were to die, you'd go to heaven with the Lord. I can't tell you the joy I have from that. Hey, look, I tell people, and they'll say, it's awful hot in that little vehicle, isn't it? I said, this is as hot as I'll ever have to be.
Amen.
I've been on the phone with people and I told them, I will never know any hotter than what is on this earth. I'm going to go one of these days where every day is the perfect temperature.
Amen.
And man, I tell you something, I can't thank God enough for it. It's joy with that. Now, here's another thing I want you to see. They say he's pestilent. Now, why are we hated? In Luke chapter 6, verse 26, it says, the Lord said to his disciples, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Y'all, if you serve God, you're going to have somebody talk bad about you every now and then.
Amen.
Y'all, I'm not encouraging watching a whole lot of news, but it's out there. We see things. Did y'all see that one with that baseball player? All the rest of them had bowed the knee, and that one guy, he didn't bow.
Amen.
And you know what they said? How come you didn't bow? That's just amazing. Why didn't you bow? Sounds like Haman over there. You know, in the Bible, he was so mad that Mordecai didn't bow. He wanted to kill Mordecai. Guess what? Haman ended up getting hung on his own gallows.
Amen.
You know what? That old saying, you give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves. When this world gets what they won't want what they get.
Amen.
The sin of man's going to lead to the man of sin. When they get it one of these days, I tell you. But anyway, that guy didn't bow. You know what he said? They said, how come you didn't bow? He said, because I'm a Christian.
Amen.
You know what? Don't bow to this world system. You keep studying that Bible. You keep getting up in the morning. You keep that good attitude. You keep going to work. You keep serving God where He gives you a place to serve Him at. And don't bend and don't bow.
Amen.
Why? Because look, that's a Christian. That's the way a Christian is supposed to behave. That's what a Christian does. They don't bow to the world. You know what that'll do? You may have a rough time, but it'll give you joy.
Amen.
Joy. Now here's another thing. They thought he was pestilent. John 15:19 says, if you were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world. That's why they hate them. They're not of the world. I don't have time. Romans 1:29-30 talks about how they're filled with unrighteousness, but they're haters of God. Now you think about how they try to root you out of the world. You read these things. I've read some of these quotes. They say we're going to root the Christians out. Look, the Bible said the Lord Jesus Christ is the root of Jesse. They can't root the Christians out. Why? I'm in Jesus Christ, and they can't outroot Jesus Christ, and they can't outroot the Christian. Man, ain't that a blessing? Hey, y'all, we had some shrubs one time. I'd have to ask Dad for sure if that's what it was. I think it was some shrubs out there in front of the house. And we had a four-wheeler with a winch on it. And we wrapped that winch around. I thought, man, I just winched this shrub just right out of the ground. And I turned that winch like this, and it just pulled that four-wheeler straight to the ground like that. Why? It was rooted.
Amen.
Rooted. No matter what tries to pull that thing out of there, it couldn't get it out of there. You know, the only way to get it, you'd have to dig all the ground out around it. You know what this world would like to do? The world would like to get that ground out from around you. Ephesians 3:17 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now, if you want to find out if your ground is being pulled out around you and somebody's really trying, how's your love? Now, I'm not talking about this God is love, you know, and we're supposed to just love. I'm not talking about that weak, effeminate love. I'm talking about loving the Lord, like you're supposed to love the Lord, and loving others. Look, if you really love somebody, you'll tell them about the Lord.
Amen.
If you really love somebody, you give them the truth. Some of these people say, y'all just don't love. You tell them about hell. We love them because we don't want to see them go.
Amen.
A real love is a biblical kind of love. And if you see your love growing cold, you can tell that ground is starting to get out around. Not that they can uproot you, but he'll try to get that ground out. We need to keep that ground in there. Keep your love right. Keep your love for God right. Now, Dr. Ruckman's got a real good book on church history. And he talks about what kills Christianity in America. So what gets the ground out? He says this in his volume 2 of church history. All the modern Bible versions, I believe that why they're all Roman Catholic Bible. Hey, if you really want to strip a gear on somebody and say, why do you believe that King James Bible? I say, number one, all those other ones are Roman Catholic Bibles. I could stand up here, I could take a New International perversion, and I could teach you Roman Catholic doctrine all day long. What about the these and the thous in there? That's Bible language. It's supposed to be there. We don't talk like that. That's Bible language. It's accurate. It has to do with accuracy. I'll take accuracy over modern and wrong any day.
Amen.
It don't have to do with the hard to read. It has to do with being accurate to the Word of God. Okay, so what you have is, he said, an inability to preach or teach negative truths. You know what makes me so fat? I get excited to preach to y'all. Because I know I can come up here and preach these truths and y'all not going to go, that's awful, I can't believe that man said that. I know that y'all don't mind the truth, and it allows truth to go forth. It allows me to be able to preach. It's a blessing. But that's not everywhere. I can't preach these sermons everywhere. Man, some place you try to preach this stuff, they get up and walk out. Alright, he said this, an artificial culture and artificial refinement. By 1970, the news media and Hollyweird, I put Hollyweird in there, had produced a church whose job was to entertain instead of enlighten, to excite instead of rebuke, to please instead of correct, and to gain support, not produce Bible believers. The focus was now on attendance and income. So you know what? Nickels and noses. Never mind the truth and try to help people's heart and try to help people become better. Let's just try to entertain them. Now, I'll tell you something. Entertainment's not going to get you closer to the Lord. You know what gets you closer to the Lord? Your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what matters. That's what matters. Now, another thing, they called him pestilent. They called him a provoker. A provoker. They said, man, this guy's committing sedition. And I want you to see here, in my Webster's Dictionary said provoking. The definition is, in general, sedition is a local or limited insurrection in opposition to civil authority, as mutiny is to military. So what they do is, they accuse you of what they're doing. You think about this right here. In Acts chapter 24, they said, this guy right here, in verse number 5, was a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. So you know what they were accusing him of? They were accusing him of following Jesus Christ. They said, well, he's a sect of the Nazarenes. That's something they made up, a sect of the Nazarenes. That's a made up term. Now what I'm trying to get at is this. According to Luke chapter 4, verse 16, verse 24 and 28 and 29, the Nazarenes, that town was the first town to try to kill Jesus Christ. They said he's of the sect of the Nazarenes. They didn't even know what they was talking about. The Nazarenes, the first ones to try to kill Jesus. The Apostle Paul was following Jesus Christ. You know what a lot of these folks do? They get up and spout all this stuff off. They don't even know what they're talking about. You know what? A lot of folks are better seen than not heard. Why? You know what? It's better to keep our mouth shut if we don't know what we're talking about.
Amen.
A lot of these folks try to get up and tell you all kind of stuff, and you know when you're listening to them, they're just a scorner, the Bible says. Y'all, a lot of these people, they just don't care about the truth, so you know what you have to do? Leave them alone. All right, now, they're provoking. So this is what I wanted to get at. If we're going to go against the world, what do we got to do? We got to stay away from their mentality. So we can't accuse others of things we're doing. Romans chapter 2, verse number 21, the Apostle Paul says, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? You know what he's saying? Don't tell somebody to do something that you're not doing. He said, you're saying don't steal? He said, do you steal? It's kind of like the guy, he told his boy, he said, don't be a liar. Son, don't lie. Lying's not good. One day he got a phone call, and the guy didn't want to talk to the fellow. His boy answered the phone, and his son come in there and said, Daddy, this man wants to talk to you. He said, tell him I'm not here. He said, Daddy, wouldn't that be lying? Now, you see how we do a lot of times? We make out like we don't do something, and we don't need to be like that. Paul's saying, hey, he said, thou that saith a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? You think about adultery, they always talk about people not doing stuff, and that's wrong, I believe that. But at the same time, do we commit spiritual adultery on the Lord? You know, we step out on the Lord, and we do things that the Lord don't like, and we never even say nothing about it. Just like, well, Lord, you're supposed to just put up with it. Now, what I'm saying is, oftentimes we're so rough on the world when we got to realize we don't need to become like them talking about how bad they are. We talk about how bad the world is and all this stuff. Well, are we making sure that we're taking heed out unto ourselves and to the doctrine? Why? Because if we don't take heed to ourselves, our doctrine won't be right. He said over there, he said, thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? You know what he said over there? Covetousness is idolatry. We want what the other man has. We want this other house. We want all this stuff. We want all this stuff we can't have. And we're talking about all those people just worship the world and they worship all these idols. As Christians, we got to be careful we don't worship ourselves. We got to make sure we're not coveting whatever everybody else has. Why? All things they're going to have, all things they got is going to burn up one day. So we got to make sure that don't take their view of a Christian. All right, number two, a true Christian. I'll go over these quickly. I know I'm losing time. But Paul said over in Acts chapter 24, he's describing himself here. He said, he gets a chance to speak, and he said, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy. So he's going to tell you it's not heresy. He said, this is what they say heresy is. So even though the world calls you a heretic, Paul's going to tell you how to really believe. He said, so worship I, the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. You know what the Apostle Paul's saying? He said, I believe the Scripture, I believe the Word of God is the Word of God. What about the scholar that gets up and says, well, a better rendering would be? Just say, hey, scholarship can take plumb to the devil, and I'll believe the Word of God.
Amen.
You say, what about the folks that say, well, that blessed old King, I like that book, you know, but it's just not, I don't care what you say, the Word of God is right, and man is wrong. Amen. What about people say, well, there's mistakes in the Bible, you know, Noah's Ark, and they, look, if you ever, we did the dimensions of the Ark here, Carla did for Sunday. She tried. Look, if you'll look at it, it wasn't like they were getting all the full-grown animals anyway. But it was plenty of room on that ark for every one of the animals. If you'll go and look at them all, there's plenty of room for them, plenty of room for all the food too. Plenty of room on that thing. There's no mistakes in the Bible.
Amen.
What I'm trying to tell you is this right here. You got to believe the world's going to call you a heretic for believing the Bible. They're going to say, that book's just got a bunch of old stories. And yeah, a bunch of true stories that'll help your heart and help your soul.
Amen.
And I thank God for the Bible. I thank God every day that God let me believe that Bible.
Amen.
Why? It helps my home. It helps my heart. It helps my relationship with my Lord so I can be a help to other people. I wouldn't be worth the powder it took to shoot out of a gun if it wasn't for my belief in the book, my belief in my Savior. Why? Because without it, you won't have the right attitude. And without it, I wouldn't be saved. Faith comes by hearing. Paul believed. He believed the book. Now, here's another thing. Not only did he believe the Scripture, he believed the Savior. Verse number 15. And have hope toward God. You know what I have today? I'm up here preaching to y'all because I've got hope toward God. I don't have hope in this world. I don't have hope in myself. I don't even have hope in others. Why? Because we all falter sometimes. I've got hope toward God. That's where my hope lies. You think about this. He says, which they themselves also allow that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. So what you'll find out is this right here. He's saying that the resurrection from the dead for man to have eternal life from God comes from believing on a resurrection. Now, I want to ask y'all this. I know maybe all of you saved. If not, y'all, salvation's simple. This world's made it hard.
Yeah.
if you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinner, and every one of us, if you're saved, you should be able to present the gospel. That Bible tells you that Christ died for our sins. The gospel is located in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Acts 2:38 is not the gospel. It does not say it's the gospel. The gospel is 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. That's the death and the burial and the resurrection. And Paul said that's how he got saved. You know what you do? You trust what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, and that alone.
Amen.
That alone.
Amen.
He said, what about all this other stuff? That can come after salvation. But you can do anything you want to do, but if you don't get saved first, all that other stuff counts for nothing.
That's right.
Now, I want you to know, Paul believed the Scriptures first. Why? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And because he believed the Scriptures, he believed the Savior. Alright, you gotta believe that. That's what a Christian does. He believes, a true Christian believes the Scriptures, and a true Christian believes the Savior. Now, here's the last thing I want to go over. I know we're getting close to time, but I want you to see this thing. I want you to see roadblocks to becoming a Christian. The world is against people becoming Christians, and the world is against you serving Jesus Christ. I want you to see a few roadblocks here. In verse number 25, the Apostle Paul was preaching to Felix, and it says, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. He trembled. You know what the Bible said? The devils believe and tremble, but they don't do them any good. You can tremble all day long, but if you don't trust, trembling is not trusting. He didn't trust. And answered, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, convenience kills the Spirit. It keeps people from Christ. I will call for thee. Now, a worldly view of trembling is a roadblock to being a Christian. 2 Kings 17:33 says, they feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations, whom they carried away from thence. You know what? God has to change your heart. God has to change your heart. Look, a lot of people hear the Word of God and they tremble a little bit and they say, I might need to do that. And then they go off and go their way. They have a heart knowledge, a head knowledge without a heart knowledge. You know, a lot of people are going to go to hell, like preachers used to say, from 18 inches. From here to here. You have to have it in here. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is this. God has to change your heart. I heard a story one time about a magician who had a mouse. And that mouse was always scared. And that mouse said, I want to be changed into a bobcat. And so, he changed him into a bobcat. And so, then later on, he said, well, I'm scared of the dog. And he said, man, you're a bobcat. Why are you scared of the dog? He said, I'm just scared of that dog. And so, the magician changed him into a dog. And so then he started getting scared of the tiger. He said, I'm scared of the tiger. He said, I'll change into a tiger. So he changed him into a tiger and he was still scared of everything. He said, I'm scared of the hunter. I'm scared of everything I think of. He said, I can't help you. You got the heart of the mouse and I can't help the heart. All I can do is change you. You know what's wrong with a lot of folks? They're changing this way and they're changing that way and they're trying to implement this and they're trying to implement the other thing. And if they don't change their heart, they'll still fear the world and everything else. And they'll still join in with the world and the cloud and still do what everybody else likes instead of what they know to be true and right.
Amen.
You got to have God change your heart. And so, that's a roadblock to becoming a Christian. So, they had a worldly view of trembling. Last thing, they got a worldly view of time. A worldly view of time. He said, when I have a convenient time, he said, go thy way for this time. Now I want to read you two things. We're coming to a close. Two poems I meant to send to you, Brother Tommy. The first one is the 3-volume book. Life is a book of volumes 3. The past, the present, and the yet to be. The first is written and laid away. The second, we are waiting day by day. The next and the last of the volumes 3 is locked from sight. God holds the key.
Amen.
None of us knows what's going to happen tomorrow. God holds the key. The news media does not know what's going to happen tomorrow. Nostradamus does not know what's going to happen tomorrow. These false prophets, Benny Hinn, does not know what's going to happen tomorrow. God holds the key.
Amen.
People say, talking about their future and all their future holds and all this stuff. It doesn't matter what your future holds if you don't know who holds your future.
Amen.
And because I know who holds my future, it doesn't matter what my future holds because I know I've got heaven and glory in sight.
Amen.
Now here's the next thing. Talking about time. The clock of life is wound but once. And no man has the power to say just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time we own to do His precious will. Do not wait until tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. I tell you something, y'all. We need to understand something. One of these days, the last second on your clock is going to go. It's going to go. Now, I normally don't tell a whole lot of stories like this, but y'all look like y'all don't mind a good story. I read a story about a man in Great Britain, and his name was Archibald Boyle of the Hell Club. What a name. But y'all, is that a true thing? We got groups like Hell's Angels and stuff like that. It's not hard for me to realize. This was back in the 1800s, I believe. So this club was they'd sit around and they'd smoke cigars and they'd play cards and they'd get drunk and they just had but they called it the Hell Club and they lived like hell. You know what the problem with living like hell does? It leads you to the highway to hell.
Amen.
The fact that there's a group that sings Highway to Hell and all they know how to do is cuss and fight and everything else, there's more to life than that.
Amen.
So this man, Mr. Boyle, he went to sleep one afternoon and he dreamt that he was riding his horse. And he's riding his horse through the dark on the way home from Hell Club. And he dreamt that someone took his horse. A figure, huge, dark figure, took his horse by the reins and pulled him down into the ground. And he said that figure pulled him and pulled him and pulled him down, 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 down. And he said, "Where are you taking me?" He said, "I'm taking you to hell." He said, "Taking me to hell?" He said, "Yes, sir, we're almost there." And they come to this great archway. And he said he entered that place and he said he was thinking he was going to see flames of fire. And he said he got down there and he saw people that he knew. He said he saw all kinds of things going on and people playing cards and people drinking and people doing all their favorite activities. And he said, "Wow, this is nothing like I expected." He said he went by one lady that he knew and she was sitting there playing her favorite card game. She had her face down. And he called her by her name and he said, Hey, I'm down here with y'all. Let's visit a little bit. Can't you visit?" He said, she just kept playing cards. He said, I want you to visit a little bit. I'm down here with you now. Can you visit?" And he said, "Take a rest for a second and visit with me." He said she turned around and fire was in her eyes. You know, the Bible talks about having a form of godliness. He said she opened up her shirt and he said she was on fire on the inside. He said she turned around and said, "There's no rest in hell." She said, "I'll be doing this forever while I burn." Why? The outside looked fine, but on the inside she was burning. She said, "I'll never stop playing cards forever. I'll be doing my favorite activity while I suffer and while I burn forever and forever." He said he went to another friend of his and he said that guy had an activity. He loved to play polo and he said he saw him and he said, "Hey, stop for a minute. Take a rest." And that guy looked at him and said, "There's no rest in hell." He said he looked at him and he said on the inside of him, he said his eyes had fire behind his eyes. And he said in his shirt, he could see fire come up out of his shirt. He said he had a form, looked like everything. He said, "That guy said, there's no rest. I'll do my favorite activity forever while I burn." Man, he said he was terrified. Said he was scared. He said, no rest. No, all I could think was no rest. No rest. He said, please let me out of here. I know when I go back, if you'll let me out of here, I'll never do those things again. And that guy said, okay. He said, I'm going to let you out for 1 year. He said, but everybody who goes out that way always comes back. He said, I'll see you in a year. He said, that man, for a whole year, he tried his best to do right, do right, do right. He couldn't do right. He said, finally, one night, he found himself a year later. He said, he went to that hell club. He said, I'm going to go there and I'm going to tell them all the dream I had. He sat there and told them just like I told you and told them about that dream he had. Scared to death. Said they said he was trembling. As the story goes, as he told those people. He said, y'all, this thing is real. He said, they laughed and said, man, that was just a dream. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. Come over here and sit down. And before long, he had let his friends of old talk him into sitting right back down. He said, you know, I think y'all are right. I think all it was just a dream. No big deal. You know what they did? His friends, as the story goes, the next day, his friends found his horse about 2 miles from that hell club, grazing in a pasture. That was exactly a year after he had had that dream. You know what? I don't know how true all that. I just know this right here. The Bible said hell is real, and the Bible said hell is fire forever.
Right.
And I want y'all, every one of y'all, to know this right here. This little old preacher, I want to tell y'all the truth, that going to heaven, Christ Jesus has made it as simple as drinking water, as simple as walking through a door, as simple as eating bread. All you have to do is place your faith and trust in Him, and He takes care of every bit of it, and you have rest with Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
It's nothing like rest and knowing, my friend, if this world takes my life and takes anything, they can have it all. Why? Because I'm going to rest with my Savior way up above the blue, and I'm going to be there forever with my Savior. Amen. It's nothing like having that rest in my heart and that joy down in my soul.
Amen.
That only God can give. And I want to ask you this. Do you have rest? Are you at peace? Do you know what a Christian is? Are you going against the worldly grain? Won't you start today if you're not? There's never going to be a better day than today. Let's pray. Dad, if you would close us out.